Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business, business, business. Each of my guests will discuss a topic that we can directly apply to business. My first guest is a professor at Fordham University with extensive background in leadership, innovation, and team building. We'll discuss how leaders create high-trust teams from his book, The Decision to Trust. My second guest is a 30-year veteran of the financial industry who's also roamed the corridors of Washington, D.C. We'll discuss the unintended consequences of the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill for the financial industry and for us as consumers. My third guest is the great-grandniece of Thomas Edison. She'll share the five competencies of innovation she's learned from her famous relative from her latest book, Innovate Like Edison. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bob Hurley is a professor at Fordham University and president of Hurley Associates. Dr. Hurley consults with organizations on leadership development, top team development, coaching, managing transformational change, and developing and implementing strategies to maximize customer value. He's been a core faculty member at Columbia Business School High Impact Leadership Program for the past 20 years. He's also taught at Duke Corporate Education for the last 3 years. Earlier in his career, he was a product manager with Kraft Foods, where he led and managed new product development and established brand teams. He began his career as a CPA, interestingly enough, working for Ernst & Whinney and Arthur Andersen, where he consulted with large and medium-sized companies in the financial area. Dr. Hurley has his BS from Fordham University. He earned his MBA at the Wharton School, and Dr. Hurley received his doctorate from Columbia University. Joining us from back east, hi, Bob. How are you today?
I'm great, Billy. How you doing?
I am doing terrific. Thank you so much for being our guest and sharing your expertise with us. I think it's interesting. Your whole book is built on the idea of trust. Loyalty in business, whether it's a person or a company or a brand, is pretty much dead these days. I mean, you contend that trust has replaced loyalty as the key factor in interpersonal and business relationships. Explain why you think this is so.
Well, I would agree with you that loyalty, unfortunately, is a thing of the past. And the way I talk about it is loyalty is in nearly all businesses today, economically contingent and therefore fragile. But my point here is that we probably can lose loyalty and still be productive. But if we lose trust, it's hard to have a productive organization. And why? Organizations basically are, you pull a bunch of people and groups together, and they need to cooperate. Well, when you lose trust, you lose cooperation. So it's virtually impossible to have a world-class, high-performing organization if people in it don't trust each other.
Well, that makes sense. Lose trust, lose cooperation. But trust is such a personal matter. I mean, based on factors that really do vary from person to person, from situation to situation. And certain environments can exacerbate where change and uncertainty and even risk exist. So how do you go about that? Because it's such a personal thing. How do you manage? How do you identify trust? Let's get into that a little bit, if we can.
So let me disagree just slightly with your characterization. I would actually add, I think you're right, it's personal, but it's also impersonal in the following sense. we sometimes are naive trusters. We trust people who, let's say, are nice, who we feel an interpersonal connection with. By the way, a lot of people trusted Bernie Madoff.
Right.
He was nice. He played golf with them, right?
Right.
So it's not just personal. It also has to be impersonal. You have to judge capability. You have to judge the alignment of interests. Some of these less personal factors of trust in order to make a good trust decision. And that's part of the problem. So if you think about trust in a more accurate, robust manner, you realize that some elements of trustworthiness are interpersonal and others are impersonal. And until you cycle through and think about all of them, you can't make a good trust decision. And if you can't make a good trust decision, the chances are pretty good that you'll be betrayed at some point and trust will be eroded. So in the book, I make the argument that in this country and in business, we actually don't have a trust problem. We have a trustworthiness problem.
A very good distinction. My guest is Dr. Bob Hurley, author of the book, The Decision to Trust, How Leaders Create High Trust Organizations. And so let's get into it, because you've developed this Decision to Trust model, or DTM for short, where you codify, you systematize building trust. So first of all, how'd you develop this particular model? I mean, obviously you didn't just wake up one day thinking about it. What led you to the Decision to Trust model?
So in my doctoral program, I studied with one of the foremost social psychologists around trust and cooperation, Morton Deutsch, and he intrigued me and inspired me. I then started to do some consulting and some research because I saw with my students and with the organizations I consulted with, their trust was breaking down really over the past 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I got further interested in this idea of could you build trust? What is trustworthiness, and how could you manifest it? I also, in more recent years, have seen many organizations that have really separated themselves from their competitors because of trust and trustworthiness.
Well, give us an example of that, will you, Bob?
Great. Procter & Gamble, Google, Zappos, SAS would be sort of on the short list. Another one that I think is tremendous is a company called Quick Trip Convenience Stores. You know, all of these organizations have incredible employee retention,
mm-hmm.
have outpaced their competitors in terms of growth and stock price, and they've built organizations where employees trust each other, one department cooperates with each other and trusts each other, and their customers trust them, and the communities trust them, and they're winning in the competitive race.
And those are good example, Bob. But I want to hit the pause button and go back to something that you said earlier, setting this whole thing up, about how you've observed how trust has broken down over the last 20 years. I think everybody listening to the sound of our voice would agree with that sort of intuitively. They feel it. But what are some of the reasons behind this decline of trust that you've identified over the last 20 years?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, some of them quite macro, like generational differences. You know, since the World War II Great Depression generation, most of the generations following them have been less trusting and less optimistic. But quite frankly, that's a cultural phenomenon, and that would be hard to change. I think it can change. But the principal reason, I think, for the decline is declining trustworthiness. The global financial crisis is a great example. We saw very clearly opportunism and greed. Get in, get mine, get out before it crashes, would be a very short summary of the global financial crisis. Well, people looking in that say, wait a minute, this is not a trustworthy model. And so they start to trust less and less and less. And so that's one of the reasons.
All right, but help balance that for me, Bob, with the inflated expectations of the people in whom trust is placed. The other way around, in whom place the trust in others, the inflated expectations that they have. I mean, isn't that just...
I talk about that in the book, and I think that's important, right? So sometimes we have a fantasy that if I just have the right president, leader, CEO, that things will work out. Well, we live in a very fast-changing, complex world, and it's difficult for any trustee, no matter how intelligent they are, to make everything right. And so we have had inflated expectations. We sort of expect the leader to solve all the problems. Well, One, that's sort of infantilizing on our part, right? And,
yeah.
And unreasonable. And it's not surprising that we would feel betrayed and lose trust if that's our mindset. So we gotta get away from that. We actually, I talk in the book, we have to become better trustors, more reasonable, more discerning of trustworthiness, and more reasonable in our expectations of those in whom we place trust.
All right, so this erosion of trust, Bob, that we've had over the last 20 years has been happening. What are some of the symptoms that we can see on an individual level, maybe on a structural level, or even on the macro picture, as you say, on the cultural level?
Well, you know, turn on the TV and look at all the reality TV shows. They're all about betrayal. You know, look at the media. It's increasingly negative. But you know, Billy, in this book, I'm trying to actually... Most of the book is about how we change this.
Right.
And so what I talk about is, I talk about the decision stress model and what is trustworthiness. And it's interesting. We have 50 years of research in psychology about what builds, what trustworthiness is. Now, my argument is that if we know what trustworthiness is and we can start to build it into leadership and institutions, that is the hope to turn this thing around. Well, so what is trustworthiness? It's value congruence, right?
Right.
Does this other person share any of my values? If yes, I'm more apt to trust. Second, alignment of interest. Are our interests in conflict or are they aligned? Good leaders create alignment of interest among stakeholders. Benevolence. Does this person care about the welfare of others? If yes, I'm more likely to be trusting.
Mm-hmm.
If no, I'm more likely to be suspicious. Predictability and integrity. Does the person operate in a consistent manner based on their values? Do they practice what they preach? Competence. Are they capable in the matter at hand? And then communication. Is communication open, transparent, and is it frequent? And will they tell me the bad news even if it hurts them? Or will they delay? Will they manipulate? Will they deceive? So we know what creates what trustworthiness is. And the argument I make is if we increase trustworthiness, what will follow will be increased trust.
All right. Now, that makes sense. My guest is Bob Hurley. But we've got a conundrum here, Bob. It's a chicken and egg situation because trusting is such a personal thing. I trust differently than you trust. I certainly trust differently than my wife. My wife looks at some people and trusts them implicitly,
right,
and I tend to be a little bit more skeptical. So everything that you talked about before, you know, similarities of interest, alignment of interest, benevolence, all of those are based on the situation. The bigger question, the chicken and egg conundrum, is this, though. If you've got an inherently skeptical person, say myself, on
right,
the other end of the line, how do you build up that, quickly build up that trust and overcome some of my personal biases, my personal fears about trusting?
Great question. The first part of the model, one that I haven't talked about so far, is this idea of individual differences in the disposition to trust. So you're absolutely right. Some people trust blindly. Some people struggle to trust at all. So we vary in our capacity to trust. So the argument that I make is if you want to build trust in another person, you have to, one, understand where they are in their disposition to trust. And I talk about three variables that helps you sort of detect that. But let's take you, for example.
All right.
You tend to be somewhat skeptical.
That's right.
If I know that and I understand why, that then tells me I need to build more assurance in these other elements of trustworthiness in order for you to sort of cross over from suspicion to trust, right?
Uh-huh.
So in your wife's case, I might just need to appear benevolent. But in your case, I actually need to assure you that our interests are aligned. I need to demonstrate my competence to you. And I need to demonstrate benevolence. And I may need to do it multiple times for you to cross over from suspicion to trust.
All right, that makes some sense.
Now, there are some people who will never trust, but that's very rare, and we call that paranoia, right?
Right.
But most people, even the skeptics, if you build and manifest the elements of trustworthiness, will cross over from suspicion to trust.
All right, my guest is Bob Hurley. So, Bob, it begs the question, you mentioned his name earlier, Bernie Madoff. He's the classic example of the greatest Ponzi scheme ever perpetrated on a society. So my question to you is, how do con artists and scammers manipulate these 10 elements of trust that we've just talked about to mislead us and to harm us?
They, you know, most of these con artists are very knowledgeable about trust. By the way, one of the reasons they're knowledgeable about trust is they don't trust anyone. So they they're obsessed with trust because it's so hard for them. And they so they learn a great deal about what makes people trust and what makes people suspicious. And in the Ponzi scheme fraud world, they then use that against people, which is one reason why in the book I said, you know, you have to discern these factors very carefully. You can't just look at, well, gee, they're a member of my my golf club, or they're a member of the Jewish community, and therefore they'd never betray me. You have to look at the other elements to trust in order to really make a good decision.
Well, that's a profound advice right there. My guest is Bob Hurley. He's author of the book, The Decision to Trust, How Leaders Create High Trust Organizations. So, Bob, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Decision to Trust?
I want them to take away that, one, we have a trust problem, two, why we have a trust problem, and three, there are things we can do about it. If we understand what trustworthiness is, and we build that into leadership, and leaders build that and embed that into the organizations they lead, and by the way, this can be done at the national level also. We can make a difference. We can actually enhance trust by enhancing trustworthiness. And there's a science behind this. We know what trustworthiness is, and we can show people how to be more trustworthy. And then we'll have more trust.
The science of trust. I love it. My guest has been Bob Hurley. Bob, you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners that are out there. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to drbobhurley.com, drbobhurley, H-U-R-L-E-Y.com, and there's some information on the book and some tools around trust, and I think that'd be helpful.
drbobhurley.com. Bob, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Glad to be with you, Billy.